We're starting with the Gemara and Nun Zayin. Amar Alkus Talmaviz. In the case of Toin Tainas Gana Bavida, the Gemara says by Toin Tainas Gana Bavida, one is Chayav Kiva. The Shomer really was the one who stole the object, right? So if the Shomer Avida is a Shomer Sachar, so how can he be Chayav Kiva? Else, if he claims it was stolen, he would be Chayav. So if the Shomer Sachar claims list of Mizuyim, behold, that list of Mizuyim is considered Gana, so then the Shomer Sachar will be Potter. So is it true that list of Mizuyim are considered a Gana? So the Braisa says the Shomer Sachar does not pay Kiva, but if you hold list of Mizuyim Ganavu, so then the Shomer Sachar does pay Kiva. So the Gemara asks, Vinishvar Omeis, in the case of a Shoel, the object is broken or the animal dies, a Shoel is going to be Chayav. So what about Kanev Aveda by Shoel? So we learn a Kavachomer from Shomer Sachar. Just like Shomer Sachar is Pater Bishvur Misa, but Chayav by Kanev Aveda, so too by Shoel, which is Chayav Bishvur Misa, is also going to be Chayav by Kanev Aveda. And we say, the Gemara says, there's a Pircha, Kavachomer that does not have a Pircha. But if you hold list of Mizuyim and Ganavu, so then the Shomer Sachar will be Chayav Kifel, and more Chomer than a Shoel. And the Gemara ends by saying, really, it's not a chumrah, as kind of lo shua difilo mikfeilo b'shua. So, basically, Tosos points out, so he says, so the Gemara says that the Shomer Sachar is chayav kefil in the case of list of Mizuyin, where we hold list of Mizuyin is a gana, right? That's our key point to take away from that whole Gemara, is that a Shomer Sachar is chayav kefil in the case of list of Mizuyin, when we hold that list of Mizuyin is considered a gana, right? So we say, oh, but isn't there another case of a Shomer Sachar paying kefil, and that's the case of Baal of Imo, right? The Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim that if the Baalim are with the animal at the Shas She'ilo, so then the Shoel won't be chayav. There is a Ptur of Baal of Imo. And the Mishnah in Bam Metzia, brings this down. So it speaks about this. If you borrow or hire the Baal at the same time that you are borrowing or renting one's animal, so then there's going to be a Ptur of Baal of Imo. So Tosus is asking, so why, that the case of Toin Nigneva and it is Baal of Imo, one should also be Chayav Kefal in that case. So Tosos basically says that either there's no Kefal in that case, or even if it was Shach to apply Kefal in that case, or Inachanami, we could have said it. So basically Tosos has a suffix whether or not one is Chayav Kefal in the case of Toin Tainus Ganav Vivailam. So it is a suffix whether or not you're Chayav Kefal in that case. So why should one be chayav or not chayav kefil for towing tainus gana v'vayim? So what's the svara? So basically we have three approaches, three different answers. So the first answer, Shidig Mekubasa, says that there's no chayav kefil because one is only chayav kefil when the tainus ganeva was gorim the patur. But here the baal of imo is what is gorim the patur, not the tainus ganeva. So therefore it's not going to apply, because he's saying that Shidig Mekubasa is saying that the chayav kefil is midin gana, so the taina needs to come midin ganeva. But if the taina's ganeva is not the source of the patur, then it's not going to apply here. So that's the Shidduch Kubezis. The Birka Shmuel and the Shach, they take the following approach. They say Toin Taina's ganav is only by Shomer. Therefore, the Chiyuv Kefel should only apply in the case of Baal of Imo. But if you hold Baal of Imo is a patur, so the Chiyuv Kefel is only going to apply in the case of Baal of Imo if you hold Baal of Imo is a Ptur Tashlumim. So if you assume Baal of Imo removes the Shmira, right, there won't be a Chiyuv for Kefil, as you're not considered a Shomer. The Ksos says, this is our third approach, the Ksos says it depends whether there is a Chiyuv Shvua. If there's a Chiyuv Shvua, there will be a Chiyuv Kefil, but if there's no Chiyuv Shvua, will not be a Chiyuv Kefil. The next question we discuss is, what is the din if one is a Shomer Chinam? Shifting cases a little bit. Let's say one's a Shomer Chinam to an Avadim Shtaros Vekarkaos, and then he is Poshe. Is he going to be Chayav to pay, and why? So basically, the Rambam says that if one is Poshe by Avadim Shtaros Vekarkaos, they are going to be Chayav. They're going to be Chayav because Kol HaPosheya Maziku. That's the sort of the Rambam. We spoke about that, whether or not that's true. The Ravid argues on the Rambam. We're not really going to get into that now, but we discuss whether or not Poshea is Kemazik or not. Tosfos Bava Metzia, however, says that if a Shomer Chinam is Poshea by Avadim Sharos and Karkaos, he is going to be Pater. So why would he be Pater? So the Nesiva says that one's not going to be considered a Shomer by Avadim Sharos and Karkaos, and therefore you're going to be Pater from Shia. So that, or the Ritva wants to say that if Poshea is not Kemazik, So then there's going to be no chiyuv for pshia, and therefore you're not going to be chayuv. So now moving on to the Tosfos Bava Metzia says you're going to be a pater. Why are you going to be a pater? So the Nesivos is saying that you're not considered a shomer in that case. By Avadim Sharas and Kirkos, you're not considered a shomer. And the Ritva is saying that if you're Pshaya, is not considered a kemazik, so therefore there's no fear for being Pshaya. So even if you're Pshaya, you're not going to be Chayav. So moving on to the next case, Nafalagina of Ananis, which Shlomis Mash Ananis, that's Sugya. So the Mishnah that told us on Nun Hayam and Vez, right, if one's animal falls into someone else's Rishus, so then they're going to pay Mash Ananis. If the animal walks Kedarka, right, Yarda Kedarka, into the Ginus, so no one's going to be Chayav to pay Mash Azika. The Mishnah says the case is where the animal falls but only into the Rishus of someone else, and the Bailim pay for the Hana, not the Hezek. The Hana that the animal is getting. The Gemara and Zayin and Mabiz, so brings Rav. Rav says the case is where the animal got Hana from the fall, because the Peru softened the fall. But there's no Chiyav for Hana of eating. Right? So why can't we say the Svar of Havel Shalot Tochal? Right? Which is the Svar that Gemara and Zayin and Aleph. Says that if one brings their payers into someone else's rishus, and the animal of the Baal Bais eats from the payers and gets damaged, so the Baal payers is not chayv. You can say havelah shelo tochal. So why can't we apply the svar of havelah shelo tochal into in our case here? So the Gemara by us on Mem Zayin continues and says the cases are different. The case by Daf Mem Zayin where we apply havelah shelo tochal, so that's the behemoth shouldn't have eaten, and it is damage that's done to the animal itself. But here, we're talking about damage that happens to others, right? So therefore, the Baal HaSadah shouldn't be able to say, Havala Shelo Tochal. So the Gemara says, no, really, we should compare the Baal HaGina, right, to a case where someone is chasing an Ari, Mavriach Ari, Menechse Chavero, and then you're not going to be Chayiv at all. So we say, no, that's also not a good comparison, that's going to be different, as one who chased the lion did it Midaita, while the Baal HaGina did the Baal HaBehema a favor without Das, right? Because the animal just fell, pushing the fall, he didn't know about it. He didn't know that that's what his payros were doing, as opposed to the Mavriach Ari, that was deliberate. So therefore, the Baal Behemah is chayav to pay Mash Ananis. So going on that, this concept, this din of Nafal Ginam Shlomis Mash Ananis, the Tosfos says that the case is where the animal can't go down naturally, but it slipped, or it slipped and fell into the Gina, or it was pushed in. So in this case, you're going to be chayav to pay Mash Ananis, right? But it's not where it went down naturally. If the animal was able to walk down, so then the Baal would be chayav for Mash Azika as it's chilas of Shio of Sofa Bones. So that's Shitas Tosfos. The Grub brings the Ravid. The Ravid says that there is no chilas of Shio in this case, right? Because the Baal is going to hold the animal by its tail, right? It's all going to be considered an Ones. So therefore, as long as the animal was Nafla, one is going to be chayav for Mashananis. And the Ravid gets the Shita. Where does the Ravid get the Shita? The Gra says, he has the Shita from the Gemara and Daf Yud Tes Amin Beis. They say that it's not considered Tchilas of Pshio. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Yud Tes Amin Beis that if an animal does damage with its tail, so then what's going to be the din? Do we consider it like Regos? The Gemara asks, does the Baal need to hold on to the animal's tail? So further, does the Baal need to hold the carrion of the animal, right? Meaning, are we saying like he has to physically hold? Oh, he should make sure he doesn't gore, so therefore physically hold on to the carrion of the animal. So, which obviously is not the case, right? Because it's not orfe, it's not normal to hold the animal in that way. If it is orfe to hold the tail, so then you would in theory be chai for damage done by the animal's tail. But if the tail, let's say we say it's wagging a lot. So then the question is, do we have to see if that's normal or not for you to then have to hold on to the tail. But we assume that you don't have to hold on to the tail. We're saying it's not normal for you to have to do the same way you don't have to hold on to the horns of the animal. So therefore the Ravid's saying that it's not considered Tchilas of Pshia because you don't have to be holding on to it. So why shouldn't the owner be responsible to hold on to the animal to prevent the normal damage from occurring, right? Meaning, we're saying that he doesn't have to hold on to the tail, but why not? Like, what's going on here? And what's the difference between the cases of Nafla and Yarda, right? That's really what we're trying to understand here. Because, right, we Tosfos made that difference between Nafla and Yarda. He said that if it was Nafla, so then it's then you're then you're going to be putter. But if it's then you're only going to be chayav to pay masha nenes. But if it's your other kadarka, so then you're going to be chayav even masha azika. So what's the difference? So the Torah's chayim, he wants to say that the case of nafla is not a pshia, as the bailam are there, right? The fall can be prevented as because they fell ba'ones, but they can stop the animal from being yored. So the Torah's chayim though finds toshus difficult. Because he had said even if the animal can go down, it's still going to be considered tzgiyos of Mashiach. So he has three questions on Tosos. First time, he has three questions on Tosos. So he says, the first question, he says, the Gemara quotes the Machlokas of Aram when we say that one is Chayav Mashnenis. One Shita says the Machlokas is Ba'osa Aruga. The second Shita says, even if the animal goes Aruga La Aruga, until it leaves and then returns with Das Bailam. Then there's a third Shita, which is key for us here. The third Shita that says, even if it returns without Das Bailam, you're still going to be chayav. So according to Tosos, how does he understand the third shita, right? So it has to be, the case has to be where there was no way for the animal to go down on its own. So how does Tosos understand that third case? The second question is that Tosos seems to teach the case of Nafal, and he's saying, Tosos seems to be saying that there's two cases, like Nafal and Yarda, right? But the Gemara, the Mishnah sounds like there's just one case, right? Nafal and Ligina, right? And it's a question of what is that case? But Tosos makes it sound like we have two separate cases here. And the third question is, why does the Mishnah make a distinction meaning why should there be a distinction between Nafla and Yarda? Right? The difference should be right, Tosos is saying that there's a difference between Nafla and Yarda. So you're saying, why should there be that difference? The difference should be whether the animal has the ability to, like, it's possible that the animal is going to go down, and it's not possible for the animal to go down. So we suggested the Maharam shift to answer the first question, that basically the way to understand it is possibly is that a shmir me'ula is required, right? Shmir me'ula is required, but how can the animal go back? So perhaps we can say that once the animal knows that the gina exists, right, it will do more than normal to get back, right? Meaning what we're saying is that once it leaves medaz bailim, so then you now have this responsibility to do this extra crazy shmir on the animal. Why? Because since the animal knows that the gina exists, so then it's going to do anything in its power, right? Anything in its power to try to get back there, right? And we can see a precedent for this from the case of Henicha B'chama, right? That if the animal is locked behind the fence in a very sunny place, so we see that due to the sun, right, the heat of the sun, it's very hard for the animal to stay out in the sun. So therefore, we know that he's going to try to do anything he can to get out behind that fence because of the sun. So therefore, a higher level of shmira is going to be needed. So we can say the same thing here. Once it knows about the gina, so then more of a shmira is going to be required because the animal is going to try to get back, even if it's not what's typically required. So then moving on to the next case, which relating to what we were saying, we had mentioned in the Gemara about the case of Mavriach Ari. Right, the Gemara says on Nun Chesam Aleph that if one is Mavriach Ari Minachse Chaver, they chase away the line from his friend's property, so they're going to be pater. Right, so we say, and Mavriach Ari only applies in a case where there's no pseida, when there is no loss. So Tosu says that the Gemara establishes that Mavriach Ari only applies when there is no pseida, right? But he says, but the Gemara Nedarim holds that Mavriach Ari applies even when there is a loss, right? The Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Gimel and Aleph, tells us, so if one takes a neder not to get hana from his friend, he can still give the machzor the shekel and pay his friend's chobos, right? Because we assume that there's no benefit being received through those actions, right? So we see that this case is a case of Mavriach Ari, right? Why? Because by paying off his chov or giving the machzor the shekel, you're removing the chiyuv that he has. Yet we're saying that it's not, a person's not getting, so again, we're saying that there's no, that's not a problem, that's not a violation of the neder that you took them not getting any benefit from your friend. Right, and that what we just said is what the Ron explains, that you're just removing the chiyuv on his behalf. But Tosos says that, so what's pshat here, right? Again, Tosos, so our Gemara is saying that there's no, the case of Mavriach Ari applies when there's no loss, right? But the Gemara in Darm is clearly saying that there, even when there is a loss, right? Because you're paying your friend's chov off, right, in the Gemara in Darm, and we're saying that that's okay, right? So Tosos says that Mavriach Ari is so Tosos says, he answers, he says Mavriach Ari is midaito even if there is a loss. By Nafla Ligina there is no das and there is a loss. So Mavriach Ari, so it is a case of Mavriach Ari and one is going to be chayav because there's no das but there is a loss, Right? You're chai from Avriach Ari if it is midaito or there is a loss. But if there is a loss and it is shalom midaito, so then it's not going to be Mavriach Ari and one will be chai of l'shalim. So Tosos brings three cases now. So Tosos says, so three cases in Tosos. First of all, the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Tzadi Gimel, tells us that a shomer needs to be makdim b'ro'a u'makalos, right? And will be chayv if they don't, right? So that's in order to protect from robbers. They need to have sticks and different things to protect the animals and hire shepherds and have sticks to keep, you know, to help keep the animals safe that they're watching. So shomer chinam. And the Gemara says that the Shomer Chinam needs to hire for free. A Shomer Sachar needs to pay. The Gemara concludes that a Shomer Sachar needs to pay, but he can still collect from the Baal Bais. So then what's the advantage for the Baal Bais, right? Meaning, if he has to pay for it, so then why is he giving it to a Shomer? So we say, this implies that the Shomer Chinam doesn't have to pay. But if he decides to pay money, he should also be able to get his money back from the Baal Bais. So more than that, the Shomer should be paid for his efforts as well. So that's the first case. The second case is if there's a flood, right, and one leaves his chamor to save the chamor of his friend, he only gets the schar for saving his friend, but there's no payment for the loss of his animal. The third case, Gemara about Metzia, Laman Aleph and Beis, is if one finds a Aveda, they can be paid as a Poa Batel. But Tosos asks the following question. So the question is, aren't these cases of Mavriach Ari, and the Baal Bais shouldn't be chayv any schar, as there is Das, and he's saving him from Hefsed in all three of these cases? So the Reis says that one is only potter from Avriach Ari when it is not a davar barer that the hefsed is coming. You save him from the daga, from being worried, right? The concern that goes along with it. But if the hefsed is definitely going to come, or you mamish save the sheep from the Ari, so then you're going, only then will you be able to collect the schar. So what's the svara of Tosos, right? Why should there be an exemption in the case of Avriach Ari? Why should be exempt from paying? So Rashi says, here we're based, right. So Rashi says that if your fruits cushion the fall, since you're doing a mitzvah, so the Baal Behema doesn't need to pay you. But just because you're doing a mitzvah, so why should you not be a chiyuv to pay just because it's a mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch says in the case of Poreach Chovo, so if there is shel chaver of the loves, then there's no need to pay back. The Shach points out the Baal Peres is doing it, so he doesn't care about the Tashlumin. So basically he's saying that there's a mechila on the moment because you're doing a mitzvah, so therefore you don't care about the money. And the Rush also says the same thing, that there's a mechila by the matzah. Okay, so our first answer, again, what we're saying is that since you're doing a mitzvah, you're not going to have to pay. So what's pshat? Why don't you have payments in mitzvah? So we say that there's a mechila. So that's our first answer. So we also have it, the approach of Rav Shimon Shkaf. So basically, Gemara on Chaf, Daf Chaf, Amud Aleph, Chaf Amud Beis, says that, let's say one is a squatter, so does he need to pay, right? So if it's a, right, so this is talking about the sugya of Zenen, of Zelo Chaser. So if it's a chaser that is needed for rent, and he doesn't need the rent, so it's a case of zelo nenev zelo chaser. So you're not going to be chayv if it's needed for rent and he needs the rent, right? So then it's zenene v'zeh chaser. So therefore, you're going to be chayv. The case is where it's not needed for rent, but he doesn't need the rent. So it is a zenene v'zelo chaser. So in that case, are you chayv to pay? Right? If it's zenene v'zelo chaser, are you chayv to pay? So the Gemara says zenene v'zelo chaser is patur mishalim. Are you only going to be chayv if you're mechaser the other individual? Right, so if you as the squatter are being the chas of the other individual, the Gemara says that in that case, then you're going to be chayv to pay. But if not, right, if the other guy is lo chaser, so right, if the owner of the property is lo chaser, so then you're not going to have to pay. So you're going to be putter from paying. So Rav Shimon Shkaf explains, he says that Mavriach Ari, Menechse Chavero, is putter milishan because the matzil is not losing anything. Tosu says even if there's a loss, if it is done midaito, one is not makbid his chisaron, as it's treated as, because it's treated as zenen of zelo chaser, and one is going to be pater mila shalim.
So the second reason that we say that you're in the fourth question that you're pater pay is because is Rav Shkaf's answer basically like saying that
Rav Shimon Shkaf is saying that it's similar to a case of zenen of zelo chaser. So as long as the other guy's not losing out, then you're going to be potter. Meaning, he's saying that if it's, as long as it's midaito, so then we're going to assume that he's not makbid on his chisaron, and therefore it's going to be treated as like a case of zenen and zelo chaser, and therefore you're going to be potter from paying. So, moving on to the towards our last segue here for today, this was a continuation of, you know, the Gemara, as you can see, Nafla Ginam Shemesh Mashinenis. So the Gemara on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph says, how did the animal fall, right? So Rav Kahana says that it slipped on its own, but Rava says that another animal pushed it. Torah Chaim just points out in the Gemara that this question is understanding that the Nefila was done by Unis. So again, so Rav Kahana says it slipped, in his own Meir Glein. I don't know if I mentioned that. And Rava says that the other animal pushed it, right? So it was a pushing was bonus. So the Gemara in Ches Amud Aleph says if you hold it was pushed, right? So you also hold Chayav Mashinenis if the case is if it slipped. But if you hold it slips, then you're not going to hold. So you won't hold Chayav only for Mashinenis if the case is pushing. As Nizda can say that the animal should have been walking one by one. Right? Rav Kahana thinks pushing is a pshia, while Rava thinks it's an onis. And the Rif points out that pushing is a, he believes that a pushing is considered a pshia and slipping is considered onis. So the Mukhe Yosef says that the Rif, right, who just said that pushing is a pshia, is against the Gemara Baba Masiya, where it assumes that pushing is not considered a pshia. The Gemara and Baba Masiya and Sadi Gimel and Bez says that Rava thinks that if one is another to the Natri and Shi, they will be potter. Rav Huna and Rav Fitz say that the Bailam can claim that we paid you money, so we expect a higher level of Shmira. So therefore, one will be chayv if they're only Nadar Kedanashri and Shi. So this is by Shomer Sachar, right? Bar Ada was walking with animals on the bridge and one pushed the other off. And Rav Papa said, he is chayv as he should have had them walk one by one. Right? So Bar Ada said, but how is it possible for me to have done this? Rav Papa says, others made that tenet as well, but you're still going to be chayv. So what we see is, Tosus over there says, in Baba Metzia, that claiming Avruchi Chada Chada that he should have walked one by one is not a Pshia. Rabba wanted to say, nothing can the Natri Inshi makes a Shomer Pater. The others are responding as a Shomer Sachar, one is responsible even if it's not a Pshia. So he needs to provide a high, level of Shmir because he is paid. So the Muki Yosef, again, going back to his question, what he's asking is that one not making the animals walk by one is not. Sorry, a person not making the animals walk one by one, right, Avruchi Chada Chada, is not considered a Pshia, right? That's what we're learning from the Gemara in Baba Metzia. Right, so then why is the Rif saying from our Gemara that pushing would be considered a Pshia? So, the first approach, so Tosfos Baba Metzia wants to say, that it's just a Machlokes Amoraim, right, whether one holds that pushing one animal pushing another is considered a Pshia or not. So that's one. That's Tosfos Baba Metzia. It says it's just a machlokes amoraim, machlokes asugyas. The Mukhe Yosef wants to say, he quotes the Ramban, who says that by nezek nadar kedanashri inshi will not exempt. Why not? Because nadar kedanashri inshi is not considered a shmira pechusa. In terms of nezek to the gufa behema, nadar kedanashri inshi can exempt a shomer, you know, because it is not a pshia. But in terms of hezek that the behema does to someone else, nadar kedanashri inshi is not enough because it is not considered a shmira at all. So therefore, basically what he's saying is that the Gemara Baba Masiya, which we're talking about, nothing, the Natri Inshi, that's unique. That's a separate case, right? But normally we would say that pushing is considered Pshia, but by nothing, the Natri Inshi, it's going to be different because it's not. That's not considered a Shmira Pechusa. So what? Okay, sorry. One thing I left out. Just going back to, we said the first answer of Tosfos Baba Masiya. The Rush also says that's a machlokes amoraim, and the halacha is like Rav Papa from the Gemara Baba Metzia. So since pushing is not a pshia for the shomer, even a shomer sachar won't be chayev, as nadar kedanashri inshi should be sufficient. You're only chayev for mashin. What? According. So the Rush is saying this, that the halacha is like Rav Papa, right? And we're saying that since pushing is not a pshia for the shomer, so even a shomer sucker won't be chayev, as nadar kedanashri inshi should be sufficient, and you're only going to be chayev for mashinenis. So we have this machogas, right? And then we were saying in the Ramban that the Mukhe Yosef quoted that nadar kedanashri inshi is not sufficient. So we have this machogas rush in the Ramban. So what are they arguing about? Right, about nadar kedanashri inshi. So we say that, so it could be that what they're arguing about is nadar kedanashri inshi a ptur by nezek, and a behemoth does to someone else. So if we hold that the mechayev of miskimon was shia b'shmira, so in this case you're not. So it could be that the rush is saying that you're not considered shia. So therefore, another kedanatri inshi will exempt you. But if you assume that the mechayev miskimon is a maisa hezek, so therefore you're going to be chayev for your animal's actions, even if it was another kedanatri inshi. Right. So that's what the Ramban is saying. That's why the Ramban is saying that it's not a good enough shmira. It's not considered shmira b'chusa. That's one possibility. In terms of how to explain this machlokas, another possibility is that another kedanatri inshi could be a patur by shomer, but not by them. Why is another kedanatri inshi patur? So it is a din. So we say it's a din onis, not a pshia. So maybe according to Ramban, another kedanatri inshi is patur because there was no kabbalah sacharis, but the shomer to watch for times, and it's not normal to watch. Therefore, the bailim are going to be chai. But bailim, however, bailim can't have a time when they aren't responsible. So there's a difference between bailim and there's shomer. By a shomer, he can say that he's only accepting shmir for that which is times that it's normal for him to for shomer to watch. But for bailim, he's always going to be responsible. So the Gemara, just to finish off last piece here. So the Gemara in Ches says that Rav Kahana. Now, look at Rav Kahana and Rav Yochanan. Rav Kahana says the cases where the animal is eating by osa aruga, while Rav Yochanan says it's even aruga la aruga. So once the animal falls in, so why can the animal continue eating, right? Why don't the bailim have to stop the animal? So what's pshat? So Rashi says that once there is a nefila ba'one, so there's also an anusa ba'achilasa, right? There's the eating is also considered ones. So why? Because once the animal is in, they're going to go after the food and they're not going to be able to be controlled, right? So therefore, once it falls in, so it's almost like there's nothing more you can do at that time. So therefore, even the eating is going to be considered an ones. So Shidim Gubetzes points out the Ra'a says that one is chayav ba'osa aruga, if it's a large enough aruga. Then the animal stops from eating. But at that point, once he stops from eating, the baal needs to pull the animal out. The Shidi Gumbetz quotes the Ra'a. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why are you not responsible for Masha is you get the animal goes aruga la aruga. So why is he alive, right? So we're saying for Rav Kahana, once it finishes in that aruga, so then you're going to have to take the animal out. Right, which makes sense. We're saying it's considered an onus within that aruga, and then you take the animal out. So why Rabbi Yochanan say it can go from aruga to aruga? So he says, once the animal falls in, if the bailim go in to take it out, it will look like they brought it in themselves. So therefore, if the animal wanders from to another aruga, the bailim are going to be putter. Because we don't want to make it look like the bailim purposely brought the animal in. The second approach, right, so we quote Rashi, we explained Rashi. Now, Tosos says that if an animal goes from aruga to aruga, it's considered stay acher. And the Rosh points out that if Kahana thinks aruga to aruga is a stay acher, so does the Pshias HaBailim when the animal goes to the second aruga. But Rav Yochanan thinks aruga to aruga is considered one field, and therefore there is not going to be considered a Pshia B'Bailim.